For me, a narrative is a system of stories. A narrative tends to be open-ended. There's a beginning, a middle, but not necessarily an end, because when you think about a narrative in society, it's future focused. We don't necessarily know where it's headed, how it's going to end up.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. On today's episode, I have somebody who has some of the same books behind him that I have behind me, which is exciting. But also, we're going to dive into the difference between narrative and story, and why is that important for your business? Why is it important to know the difference between the two? And we're just going to talk about how can we incorporate narrative more into the businesses that we're running. To have this conversation, I'm really excited to have Guillaume Viat, who is a strategic narrative consultant at his company MetaHelm. And really looking forward to this conversation. Guillaume, welcome to the show.
And Seth, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to diving into this. Obviously, this, you know, the topic of storytelling and narrative, this kind of starts to get into our wheelhouse of just things that we're curious and things that, you know, our business is built around. So it's always fun to have these conversations where we can go a little bit deeper into kind of some of these more nerdy aspects of storytelling and narrative and different things. So You talk about the difference between story and narrative, and a lot of people don't believe them to be different. They kind of use those as synonymous terms. What is the difference between a story and a narrative?
Well, before I dive into right into the answer, I just want to give a little bit of context, because I think that it's a question of the answer is it's a question of context. And Seth, I was for many years somebody like most people who were using the two words interchangeably in everything I was writing and talking about, and just because I am curious and I like to go deep on as deep as possible on what I do, I thought, wait a minute, if there are two words, that must be for a reason, right? Also, you might hear an accent because I'm French. English is my second language. I really became more fluent in English around 35 years old. And so I developed the habit of looking for the definition of every single word to make sure that I was using the words in a proper way, in a proper context and tone in this foreign language that is English for me. And so one evening I was running into this question for myself out of the blue, like, oh, by the way, if there are two terms, like, what is that? And I discovered there is a subtle difference, which is that a story is a recount of event. The narrative is also can be understood as a recount of event, you know, an account of events. And, you know, there's typically, we think of stories as having a series of steps or phases, or you talk about a story arc. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I've been naturally more drawn to the definition of narrative as a point of view. We talk about narratives for religious institutions, governmental, political parties, societal changes very often. Oh, the narrative around this or the narrative around that. And so that's the facet of that word that I've been really curious about. And so for me, stories are the individual unique pieces of systems that create a narrative. For me, a narrative is a system of stories. A narrative tends to be open-ended. There's a beginning, a middle, but not necessarily an end, because when you think about a narrative in society, it's future focused. We don't necessarily know where it's headed, how it's going to end up. And often narratives are exciting because we want to change narratives. we want to change the way we talk about, you know, many aspects of our society. If you think about this definition now, that if we can agree on that, you know, as a hypothesis for this conversation, that there is that difference. And I'm not making it up. You can also look in the dictionary. You'll see that there is alternate definition of the word narrative that, you know, I just quoted there. But if we can agree that this is that difference here, and now we turn to business, which is, you know, what we are about to talk about today. Why does this become important? Why does this become interesting? Is because, you know, if you have a business, you have a chance to do something differently. You can do the same as everyone. Say you have a pizza shop, you can do pizzas just exactly the same as everyone. You can buy the same truck, the same oven, the same everything, you know, out of the box. But you can think of pizza as something that brings something different, that has a different impact for society. And maybe you want to change the narrative around pizza. This is just one example, but I have so many examples around me. As I work with innovators, these are typically business entrepreneurs who are trying to change something. They're trying to modify the course of the way we do something, whether it's food or transportation or information technology. I mean, you name it, education, health.
Right.
The sky's the limit. So for me, when I hear narrative, I hear what's the discourse, what's the theme, what's the opinion, what's the main way we do something. When I hear a story, maybe it's an example, it's a specific situation, a specific person who experienced something that may go against this narrative or actually support this narrative. You know, we tend to believe more into one ideology versus another because we've heard stories that support that ideology.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting. You said something, or you kind of alluded to something, where we can't change a story, but we can change a narrative.
Exactly.
And I think that's really, really interesting to look at. And even in context of businesses and the customer stories and different things, you know, we can't change the stories of the experiences people have had with our brands, but then there is this narrative that's kind of this ongoing story that's in the process of being built. And that's really what we can change. Where do you see this concept of, you know, being a strategic narrative consultant? Like, how does that integrate into a business? What ways, when you work with a client, do you help them using this tool of narrative?
The function of a narrative is, number one, to give you a sense of direction, and then to spread that same sense of direction to the people you're going to be collaborating with, whether it's somebody in your team, if you have a team, or an outside partner, if you work with people who support you in any fashion, and obviously your customers, however you want to name them, your customers, your clients, all of these people, to me, I call them stakeholders. So if you have a strategic narrative, you start to show to your stakeholders that there is a direction you want to go, and maybe they also want to go. And that's a critical point here. There's no narrative if the narrative is just about what you want to do and no one cares about this, right? If no one is excited about your narrative, then you don't really have a narrative. You probably have an idea, something that still needs to be vetted, something that needs to be tested, or something that, you know, people don't know yet about. And so that's why I focus on, and mostly in my job, I help companies align people, because especially with companies of a certain size, it's getting harder and harder as the company scales to see where the ship is going. In fact, there is research showing that in companies of about 1,000 people, only 10% of the team, the overall, you know, staff knows exactly where the company is headed. Hmm.
Yeah. So when you come in, are you kind of helping to somewhat expose that and then kind of help them to identify, okay, where is the company going, and align, you know, messaging and different things with that? Like, what does it actually look like if a company says, okay, we have a narrative problem. Like maybe I, mm-hmm. as a business owner, don't know where we're going, yeah. or maybe I do, but nobody else could tell you. What does it actually look like for you to kind of come in, right. and really improve that?
Well, they when people talk to me, they know they have a problem. They don't know exactly what it means, where it comes from. So the first thing is to help me diagnose really what's the situation. And the number one thing that I look at is if the flip has happened, like if they understand narrative the same way as I do. And for this, I give, you know, lots of information. I educate them. I share my point of view. Or if they really think of a narrative as this kind of a shallow thing, this kind of packaging that you want to put around your organization just to make it look good. And so that's the situation. That's the case where I don't go. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I do deep work.
Yeah.
You know, the metaphor I would use is, you know, I'm not a makeup artist. I'm more of a plastic surgeon. Mm-hmm. So I go deeper, do reconstructive. I reconstruct organizations. I reconstruct products. And my number one stakeholder in that case is the leadership of the organization, because typically that's who has who handles the helm, right? It's like my company name indicates. I come in and I bring the meta helm to elevate kind of their view and their conscience. So I will primarily work with the business leaders. And you might, from my experience, you might have read, you know, I've worked with large organizations and people who run teams of thousands of people, but I also work with very much more modest companies, because like I said, I think we were talking about this before we hit record here. I care about the kind of leader that I work with. The work consists of looking at everything that makes people excited to be in the organization, and diagnose it, dissect it, and then reconstruct it in terms of a system. I see a narrative as a system of four areas that are split into two main dimensions. Very simple, in fact. It's the narrative is external, and that's the number one thing that these days people will think about in terms of what is a narrative. It's that, yeah, it's the marketing thing, mm-hmm. right? It's what marketing department does. It's advertising, it's PR, it's everything we say. It's our message that we share with our customers. So that's the number one thing that people think about. That's the external facet of it. But the internal facet is just equally important, if sometimes even more. Like, how do we operate as a team? What's our culture? What do we tell ourselves when there is a situation, there is a problem? Do we hide things, or are we more about truth? What are our values there? Mm-hmm. How does the promise that we tell outside actually works inside? So there are really those two facets in a narrative. So I look at those two things. And I help my entrepreneurs that I work with connect those dots.
Love it.
They are evident dots sometimes. Sometimes they are very tricky, because when you're in a business, you work really hard to build it, to run it. You forget about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine that buy-in from leadership is critical in this. Like, it probably doesn't work if a mid-level manager hires you to come in, but the people above him there's got to be... I could see it kind of working to where if people below, lower in the management tier, they can maybe be on a different path. But if somebody above you is on a different mindset, I would imagine it'd be really, really challenging to do this work.
Well, it's interesting. You use the word below. You're referring to a specific narrative, which is the narrative of a company is a pyramid, right? Narratives are unconscious. We don't pay attention to them. And that's what just happened right now in this recording, right? We assume that a company is a pyramid, which is absolutely true and right. Most companies are designed as a pyramid, but not all companies are designed as a pyramid. Some companies are designed as systems of clusters or like small villages, small tribes, even large companies, very successful large organizations work as more as holocracy versus typical hierarchy. So this is another thing that I pay attention to. And I have been brought in by people who are, you know, frontline employees or managers, because there is an opportunity in this kind of organization for people, you know, at the frontline level to also turn to the CEO and say, hey, we have a narrative problem. We need to do this. And the CEO will sometimes listen.
Yeah.
But you're right. Traditionally, if there is no leadership buying, it's really, really impossible. In fact, I just turned down work with a very prestigious company that is all over the news lately because we couldn't get buying on this. And I knew that this was going to be a fail. So I didn't want to waste anybody's right. time and money there and say, you know, if we don't have that, you won't change anything.
Right. I imagine there's also situations where the leader knows the narrative, or at least they think they know the narrative that they want yep. for the company, but things derail that narrative over time. If you could identify some of the most common things that derail a narrative that the leader has in their mind, or that throw the narrative out the window or mess it up in a company, what are some of those things that commonly are screwing up the narrative that leaders want for their company?
It's not necessarily a bad thing that the narrative gets derailed. First of all, sometimes it's good. It means that the context, the environment is changing. And so you need to listen to that and, you know, make your own opinion whether this is a challenge, a good challenge, or what's going to be constructive about this challenge. But in many times, I'm trying to quickly think about what are some of the symptoms of that. We don't have enough time to check on the narrative. Again, if we think of a narrative of a written piece of communication developed by marketing, PR, and that's posted on the website, we can see it. It's there. It's static. And we don't need to go over this very often. But if we think of a narrative as something much more dynamic, much more intrinsic to how people operate, that's when you want to spend the time to check on it often. And so in many organizations, because the speed is so, you know, we operate so quickly, we don't slow down enough. We don't check on each other. We don't reframe things. We don't ask for clarifications. And so we misinterpret decisions. We will misinterpret choices for, say, product design, or how we go to market, or how do we treat our customers, what's the experience is going to look like. And it's really the role, again, of, you know, if you've got good leadership in your organization, it's really the role of the leaders to do that. So it will be essential for the leadership to also spend the time to do some check-in, but also consistently reaffirm what the narrative is about. Repetition is essential. Clarity of thoughts and of idea, you know, of ideas is really essential. And you do this through constant communication. I think in the more recent generation, there is a higher appetite and a higher level of comfort for communicating at a faster pace, being on social media, answering questions, transparency, and so on. But for maybe my generation, you know, I started my career in the mid 90s. It can feel very hard, very, very uncomfortable. We're not used to that. Mm-hmm. So myself, I had to go through significant transformation that now I teach my some of my clients.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, that it's not necessarily a bad thing if the narrative is changing. And mm-hmm. I know I've ran into that in my journey at times where we had this first iteration of my business. And, you know, when uh-huh. we started the business, this is what it was going to be. But things yeah. change. I know things now that I didn't know then. And so for a long time, I had this emotional attachment. I was really afraid to niche down and focus on what I felt in my gut we should be focusing on, because I felt mm-hmm. like, no, we have to be true to what we started as. We have to be true to this narrative of what we were originally going to create. And it was really challenging for me to kind of embrace what things have become and realize that that's not a bad thing. What are some maybe pieces of advice you'd have for entrepreneurs or leaders that are listening, that they're kind of stuck in that tension where they realize the narrative and, you know, the story they're a part of, the story that's unfolding, is maybe different than what they thought it would be a couple of years back. And they're having a hard time kind of embracing that change.
Well, I think it's that is, there are two layers here. There's a practical set of guidelines I can provide, is being able to open the conversation on this topic, just like what you did. Right. So carving out a little bit of time with your colleagues to open up to that observation and documenting it and digging through maybe some of the archives that you have and looking at, it's interesting. Like even pulling some photos sometimes, you know, after 4 or 5 years you and looking at artifacts. So doing a little bit of company archaeology mm-hmm. is good, and recognizing where you come from and looking at the evolution of your organization. So looking at the past is good. And then the next, I mean, you very logically, I would also look at the future. So one of the things I do is I write myself a letter, and I have some of the people I work with do that too. I write myself a letter, a 1-year letter. Say, you know, it's now, so say we're in 2020, that would be the end of 2022, for instance. Let's say, hey, Guillaume, I'm so proud of what you did, because look at what just happened this year. And of course, you write this right 12 months before. Mm-hmm. You can imagine what should happen. And inevitably, you're going to think about what you've done within the company, but what outside, who you work with, what challenges you've been able to face, how you've been able to adapt. So that requires writing for sure, but not the kind of writing that necessarily needs to be published. Doesn't have to be perfect. It could be just bullet point notes on a journal, but externalizing those ideas so that you can be aware of them, you can contemplate them and make better decisions on how you should evolve. Right. And then there is also a mindset piece. You have to be you have to be curious. You have to use everybody is curious, but that's when you need to be more curious than usual, and go out and really take, you know, really observe what is happening around you. You know, what is going on? What are the inevitable trends that scare you maybe, or that make you excited?
Right.
So these are some practical things you can do. It's not about writing a one document. I'm not talking about writing a book, for instance, or a blog post or a brand, you know, guide. Although you may want a document in something more formal, but I'm talking here about a process. I'm talking here about a practice. Building a strategic narrative is a practice, is a set of behaviors, of habits. It's a set of activities, exercise that you kind of do on an ongoing basis, if you will. It's never done.
Yeah.
As long as your company, you know, will exist. Yeah. So if you struggle, you know, with that, know that it's never going to go away. There will always be changes around us. I mean, look at us. It's constant right. evolution. So from the get-go, I would have this very, very clearly in mind.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I think from a marketing perspective, I'm often thinking of what's the story that we need to market. I'm not as often thinking about what's the narrative that is currently unfolding. It's much more fluid. There's
mm-hmm. exactly
yeah. There's yeah, so yeah. many conversations about controlling the narrative, and you know, with reputable you've worked with big brands, and I think the bigger the brand, there's even more, you know, you have a PR department to control the narrative. Can a narrative mm-hmm. be controlled? Is that something that can be controlled, and or should we be?
Okay, there are two questions here. Can it be controlled? For sure, yes. It depends on how big, how many people it touches, and what's the timing. If you're launching something new that gets rapid adoption, yeah, you may say, hey, this week we're controlling the narrative. Look, everybody seems to be bought in. But again, it's so fluid that maybe you actually don't control anything. It's just what you control is are your habits. Is what you believe, where you put your heart. That's what you can control. The impact, the effect. I'm not sure. Should it be controlled? I think it should be shared more than anything. I think you should invite people to a narrative and let people decide if that's something that they want. I was talking about pizza, earlier in our conversation. And there is a pizza chain called Mod Pizza that started in Seattle in 2008. Who needs another pizza chain in 2008, in the US market, and yet another brand? But the way the founders thought about making pizza was radically different. So did they think about we're going to control the narrative? I don't think so. I think they thought more about we want to make a dent in what a pizza place sounds and stands for. We want to provide better jobs. We want to provide more equity in our store. We want to provide more opportunities. That's what Mod Pizza stands for. And so did they try to change the narrative around a pizza chain? Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Did they succeed? I think to some extent they did. They've got now, I think the exact number is around 500 stores in the US. They're expanding internationally. They're becoming a public company. I mean, their track record in terms of societal impact is undeniable. Mm-hmm. Did they change not just the narrative around pizza, but also how we work collaboratively, how we integrate diverse, how we think about diversity in our society? I think they put a dent on that as well. Yeah. Did they? And again, so did they try to control? I'm not sure. We should ask their PR person. Maybe if that was their intent, but from the outside, that's not how I look at it.
Well, yeah, and that's a great example. I've always said that, like, not always in the last 7 years, I've grown to say. And think about it, that like our culture shifting towards consumers wanting to hear stories, wanting businesses to tell more stories, and wanting businesses to be more authentic. It's a really good thing because that exposes everybody. So if me as the consumer, if I expect that you're going to share your stories from your past and that you're going to be transparent about your narrative that you're in now, that exposes everybody. And so if you have a good narrative, you have a strong narrative, a positive narrative, then that's going to be really good for you. But there's a lot of companies out there that they don't have a narrative worth sharing. They're not great companies. And I think that there's less room now for companies that are, their only motive is making money at all costs, and they're not thinking about impact. There's less room for those narratives now that consumers are expecting you to share your story. And it's going to be hard for a lot of businesses, but I think it's a good thing.
I agree with you. I think it's a good evolution. It's a good progression. What gets in the way for me, Seth, is what people think about put behind the word story. It's going to be a meta comment here, but the narrative about storytelling. So I teach a class at the University of Washington in the entrepreneurship program. I've done this for many years now, and I like to kick off this class with a question: what is story for people? So no one really knows. I get, I have 100 students in front of me, I will get 100 definitions. Something very personal. But one common denominator is that there are most of them, a large majority of them, will say it's lying. It's making up something. It's hiding part of the truth to frame something that is in your best interest. So there is that connotation. And that's a danger right there. There is that idea that it's hard to be authentic. So I think every business has the potential to either create, change a narrative or join one. You know, it's not because you don't have to, don't have to come up with something unique. You could say, you know what, that other business is in the same niche as us. They're saying something that I resonate with. I want to work with them. I want to partner. I want to join that idea, that movement, right? It's okay to do that. And that's the first act of courage in towards authenticity. That's how you build it. That's how you build really true. That's how you make the use of true right. storytelling. And sometimes I'll say, I'm sorry to say this, but I think there is a, there's been a whole kind of phase where we, you know, in the last 10, maybe 20 years, we've all kind of rediscovered storytelling in the realm of business, and we're all excited about it. That phase to me is kind of over. And you'll hear me say sometimes that business storytelling 1.0, which I refer to that phase, is dead, because it just doesn't work. If you're going to think about storytelling as the nice kind of Hollywood, you know, romance thing that makes your brand look better, it just does not work. And to your point, Seth, I agree with you. People want to work with brands that are authentic, that defend value. So that's where I would make the difference. If you're still in that mode and you don't have a narrative, don't fall into that trap. Building a narrative is an act of leadership. It's not just an act of literature. It's an act of leadership. And the first thing is to have the courage to say the truth about what you're seeing around yourself. Like for me, I'll tell you what it was. I was a young consultant and I was, you know, staffed, you know, to work with company XYZ, and I just could not stand that I would have to meet with people who are completely discouraged, uninspired in the workplace. That was, to me, that was unfair. They're trapped into jobs because they have to have a paycheck and they don't know what else to do. But for that reason, there is no motivation. There is no, almost like, it may sound a little harsh, but there is no respect for for humanity, you know, in the workplace. So that was the thing I was against, and that's the thing that I was very transparent and authentic with myself from the get-go.
You mentioned something that is so powerful, and it's that, hey, I forget the exact words you mentioned, so remind me, but something about like the power of narrative, the responsibility of narrative, like it's an act of leadership. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yes, I say that most business leaders think that building a strategic narrative is an act of literature. In reality, it's an act of leadership.
I love that.
And I laid out principles to explain why. Yeah. I just published a short guide that presents 10 of those.
Yeah, that's great. And that might be the answer. I was going to just ask, kind of as we bring this to a close, what are some steps leaders can take today if they're wanting to really improve this conversation around narrative, they're wanting to be more strategic about the narrative they're representing and communicating and leading out throughout their company?
They should love get it. My book.
Love it. No, that's great. Absolutely. Is that okay to tell us that? About your book. We'll link it in the show notes.
My book is one of the many tools out there. Okay. That's what I meant by this comment. Leaders should really investigate this topic, type up what is a strategic narrative. I'm not the only one talking about this topic, but I talk about it in a different way, more holistic way. Now, if you go to my website, metahelm.com, or you can just type in strategicnarrative.com on Google, that will lead you to my website. I published an ebook. I don't ask for sign up. I don't steal your email to then spam you. You can have it without that. There's no strings attached, and it's a fast read. It's 13 minutes. I actually read it for you on YouTube if you don't have a lot of time. And I tried to load it with as many practical guidance as I could and thought-provoking statements there, so that you start your journey. That's my actual advice there, Seth. Start exploring what your company stands for from the perspective of what you stand for as a leader. What are you ready to fight for, defend, and let go of? That's the start of the journey right there.
put your flag in the ground, you know what you stand for. I think that's great. We will link to your book and to the different resources you mentioned here in the show notes. Where's the best place that people can get in touch with you if they want to continue this conversation and find out more about what it looks like to work with you, Guillaume?
Strategicnarrative.com is my website. I also, if you really want to hear often about this topic, I publish seven days a week. I send you an email with some of my latest thinkings, examples, case studies, whatever comes through my mind that night. And I'm also available on LinkedIn.
This has been really fascinating, Guillaume. I love that you are digging deeper than just business storytelling and that you're really looking at what is the responsibility involved. What's the narrative that is unfolding and how do we relate to that? This is such an important conversation. So Guillaume, thank you so much for sharing some of your experience and insight into this topic.
And thank you for for sharing your microphone, Seth, and getting on stage and spreading the word. Thanks for letting
Absolutely.
Me do that.
Anytime. Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.